HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Republican George Santos is kicked out of Congress on a vote of 311 to 114.
I have been convicted of no crimes, Mr. Speaker.
But it was a scathing House Ethics Committee report that convinced many Santos had gone too far, finding he grifted from his donors to surround himself in luxury, spending thousands on Botox treatments, luxury trips, and items from a high-end Ferragamo boutique. Just this week, one of his colleagues, Ohio Republican Max Miller, alleged his credit card and his mother's were among those fleeced by Santos.
You, sir, are a crook.
That's CBS's Scott McFarland reporting from Capitol Hill. Airstrikes resume in Gaza following the collapse of the week-long ceasefire, and militants in Gaza send barrages of rocket fire into Israel. More from CBS's Lilia Luciano.
Just in this first day, the renewed air assault killed close to 200 people, according to the Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry. Omar Harouz, searching for his family in despair, said, "We seek martyrdom. This is what we want. May Allah bring his vengeance upon you. We are not afraid of you."
Attorneys for former President Trump and others involved in the Georgia election fraud case were back in court today. Fulton County Superior Court Judge Scott McAfee opened the door for discussion on trial timing while considering a request by two of the former president's co-defendants to delay certain pretrial deadlines. WANF-TV's Doug Reardon has more.
After a question from Judge Scott McAfee, the response from Donald Trump's Fulton County attorney suggests the former president's best defense against a sweeping indictment in Georgia may be to delay and win back the White House in 2024. Prosecutors are still aiming for a trial sometime between March and August of next year, and the judge questioned how that might affect an historic upcoming campaign for president.
I believe that under the Supremacy Clause and his duties as President of the United States, this trial would not take place, if at all, until after he left.
No hard decision on scheduling was made Friday.
She was the first woman to sit on the U.S. Supreme Court. Retired Justice Sandra Day O'Connor has died at the age of 93. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
Sandra Day O'Connor stepped into her robe as the first Madam Justice seamlessly, staking her claim as if a woman had always been on the high court. A rancher's daughter from Arizona who hunted and rode horses as a child, she exhibited the rugged individualism of the Western frontier and applied it to a judicial philosophy that was moderate and yet unpredictable.
Prosecutors say a federal inmate in Tucson plunged a knife into fellow inmate Derek Chauvin 22 times last week. John Tursak is charged with attempted murder. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform, you need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Senate Democrats have elected Diane Hesselbein as their new minority leader. Hesselbein was elected to represent Middleton in the Senate last fall after a decade of serving in the Assembly. Earlier this week, Melissa Agard stepped down as minority leader after announcing her run for Dane County Executive. Hesselbein beat Senators Kelda Royes and Jeff Smith in a vote for minority leader on Friday. The Wisconsin Supreme Court is expected to rule soon on the state's legislative maps. Jeff Mandel of the liberal firm Law Forward says it's about voters choosing their lawmakers and not the other way around.
If we get back to the feedback mechanisms of democracy, that's the win. It's not about which party wins in 2024. I just think that's overly reductive.
Mandel spoke at a WISP politics gathering on Thursday. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks lose in Chicago. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks were down by 12 but came back again in the fourth quarter. A nice three-point shot from Brook Lopez to take the lead. But Alex Caruso hits from three at the buzzer. The Bulls go on to win 120-113. It was Milwaukee's first overtime game this season. College hoops, it's the Wisconsin Badgers taking on the Marquette Golden Eagles tomorrow in the Kohl Center. Tip-off 11:30 a.m. Marquette ranked third in the nation. NFL, the Packers and the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. Packers defensive coordinator Joe Barry on facing Kansas City.
They're the defending world champs. I mean, they're going to get everyone's absolute best every single week, which you would think that would be the case regardless, but they're not going to sneak up on anybody and surprise anybody.
This will be the Chiefs' Patrick Mahomes' first time ever playing at Lambeau Field.
Going to Green Bay, playing in a great environment, which I'm really excited about, against a team that's playing really good football right now.
That's Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low in the low 20s. For tomorrow, a mixture of sunshine and clouds, a high in the upper 30s. Snow showers developing Saturday night, continuing into Sunday morning. Mostly cloudy and upper 30s for the high Sunday afternoon. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. On air, 93.5 FM. Online, thetap.com. And on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making as we speak. Just came in this morning. George Santos has been expelled from Congress. Talked about that yesterday. Give you the bottom line, then I'm going to tell you what led up to it, and then where I think they go from here. It's a vote of 311 to 114. It took 290 votes, two-thirds, to expel him. They got a margin over that, 311 to 114. He is the sixth congressman in history to be expelled, and the first in more than 20 years. And of the other five, majority of them were Confederate soldiers who then got elected to Congress after the Civil War and were immediately tossed out, as they should have been. And then there were a couple of others. He's the first Republican, believe it or not. Of course, the Confederate soldiers were Democrats. They were pro-slavery Democrats. They're not members of, could not be considered members of the modern Democratic Party. 105 Republicans voted to expel him. 112 voted not to expel him. And five of them didn't vote. On the Democratic side, 206 Democrats voted to expel him. Two of them did not. They voted not to expel him. And three did not vote. Now, here's the lead up. When they met yesterday, he got to talk. He was untruthful. For instance, he said that he cooperated with the ethics committee, implied that he'd talked to him. One of the clinchers for the people in the Republican Party who voted to expel him was that ethics committee invited him to talk. They don't subpoena him. They just invite him to if he wants to give his side of the story, and he refused, and they lied about it. And I think that was the straw that broke the camel's back. One of the congressmen, a Republican, Max Miller of Ohio, said, "You, sir, are a crook." The ethics committee found that he spent campaign funds on Botox, luxury brands, and online porn platform. One of the congressmen said that he was a victim himself, that he and his mother, the congressman's mother, had been cheated by George Santos. He's a con man. Santos got up yesterday. This is bizarre. And he said, They accuse me of buying luxury brands with donor credit cards without their knowledge. I want you to know that I'm not wearing anything today that was purchased with campaign funds. What kind of a defense is that? What kind of a defense is that? Well, I'm not wearing anything today. Then he pointed down to his shoes and he said, these shoes are 6 years old. I mean, this guy, honest to Pete, this guy, first of all, I have no idea at all if he was telling the truth about his shoes. Secondly, I could care less about how long he's had his shoes. And he didn't get up and deny things specifically because I'm sure that his criminal defense counsel said, for God's sake, don't say anything. You don't have to testify. Then, yesterday, very foolish, he filed a motion to expel Representative Jamal Bowman of New York. Now, Jamal Bowman was the guy who pulled the fire alarm to try to disrupt the House proceedings when they were talking about whether they should extend the continuing resolution. And he pled to a misdemeanor for that. But, you know, if you're George Santos, he could have had a shot maybe with the squad because Jamal Bowman is down with the squad, that kind of thing. And a kind of a victim play, an identity play. But by doing that, he just envenomed the whole left of the Democratic Party and everybody else the Democratic Party wanted him out anyway. So there you have it. That's what happened to him. Tell you what, yesterday I said that Mike Johnson had said he had reservations, and that was accurate. The leadership, believe it or not, they didn't whip the vote. They didn't whip the vote, which means they didn't go to people and say, this is a must vote. So vote your conscience. Hakeem Jeffries said this, the same thing about the Democrats. But it turned out Mike Johnson opposed it. Steve Scalise, the number two, opposed it. Tom Emmer, remember him? Trump called him a rhino. He could have been speaker, moderate guy. He opposed it. And the caucus chair opposed it. They genuinely tried to stop it. They genuinely tried to stop it. And my suspicion yesterday, because I have absolutely no faith in the integrity of the Republican caucus, is that this was a scam. That the leadership signaled, wink, wink, don't vote to expel him. And then people that had to vote to expel him to get reelected back home, like the New York Republicans and Republicans in California and Illinois would do it. They'd virtue signal and they keep the vote. Well, and this was an odd one. The leadership wanted to keep his vote. The leadership wanted to keep his vote. Right now, their margin is 221 to 213. With him gone, it's 222 to 213. With him gone, it's 221 to 213. They need 218 to pass anything without Democrats. That means they can lose three Republicans. This really shaved down the margin of risk for them. And the leadership knew that. But it turned out that a lot of the rank and file were so angry at the guy. But first of all, he's facing over 21 or two felony charges, very imaginable kind of financial fraud, identity theft, perjury, and everything else. But in addition to that, one of them claimed he and his mother, a Republican, had been cheated by Santos. And then Santos gets up, says his shoes are six years old. You know, at some point, there's an aesthetic component to your job. And to have a clown like this, who had no duties, they stripped him of all his committees. Now, I don't mean chairmanships. He wasn't chairman. I mean any committee presence. Like when Pelosi stripped Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert and Gosar and those people, they were ghost ships. They walk around the halls causing trouble, insulting people. Well, he was stripped by his own party. He was stripped by his own party. Now, where do we go from here? In New York, Governor Hochul has 10 days to call a special election for that seat. She doesn't get to appoint someone. He's a Staten Island congressman. Staten Island is part of New York, New York State, New York City. Number one. Number two, if she takes the full 10 days, 80 days later, the election has to be held. Now, that's 90 days. It's 3 months. Let's say 3 months. That means there's going to be a premium on fundraising, name recognition, or people with enough resources to run themselves. There's a fellow named Suozzi, S-U-O-Z-Z-I. Remember that name? Who had that seat. He's a Democrat, moderate Democrat, and he held it. Well-regarded guy. He has a distant shirt-tail relative who, for many years, you may have known her, Paula Suozzi, was the artistic director, or I should say, she was a director of operas and some musical theater at the Skylight Opera Theater in Milwaukee. I was on the board. I was president of the board at one time. And she has a national reputation for being a director, and she is now directing at the Metropolitan Opera in New York. Very, very big deal. She's an expert in Wagner. Wagner, you know, the ring cycle, all that strange stuff, people with horns shouting out. You know, there's a very, there's a great quote that's attributed to Mark Twain. Mark Twain once said, Wagner's music is better than it sounds. And that about nails it. That's about what I think about it too. But this fellow Suozzi, Paula Suozzi's cousin, is a very wealthy guy, businessman, could self-fund his own campaign. And he has said he will run for it. I don't know who else is going to run for it, but I would say he has a darn good shot. He was an incumbent. He left to run for governor. But Kathy Hochul beat him in the primary. So now he's back in the private sector, but not for long. I'm very hopeful that he goes through with his plan, that he does vote, that he does run, he'll win, and then the Democrats will have 214 votes, and the Republicans will be down to 221, and that will be just excellent. That'll be excellent. Very, very small margin. That means that if they fool around on things like another continuing resolution or a budget, they fool around on anything, putting poison pills in, they can only lose three of their folks. They lose four, it doesn't go anywhere. And there are, as I say, four moderate Republicans in New York, at least four in California, some in, well, heck, some in a lot of states, some in Illinois, and some of them are not going to go along with some of these poison pills. So this is actually, from a vote counting point of view, very, very good news for the Democratic Party, which means very, very good news for America, because consider what the Republican Party is. Mike Johnson, mystery man, right-wing guy, doesn't believe in the separation of church and state. Says he doesn't have a bank account. Doesn't know where his money gets deposited. Has two heartbeats from the presidency. That's really, really bad. Very strange. And then you have the whole litany of the Boberts and the Gosars, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, all of them. I mean, there's a rogues gallery, Scott Perry, 20 or 30 of them, who don't deserve to be in the Congress at all. And they are flipping around. They're walking him around by the nose. And this gives us a little extra leverage against him. Coming up, a lawsuit, and I was glad to see this, filed against Act 10, and I think there's a real chance to overturn it, and I'll explain.
Go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Time out.
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba.
Please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, I was very glad to see a lawsuit file. Guess what it was? Seven unions for teachers and other public workers just filed a suit on yesterday, to end the ban on collective bargaining for public employees. In other words, to hold Act 10, which passed in 2011, unconstitutional. Now, Act 10, it occurred to me and probably every lawyer in the state, the minute I read it, it's unconstitutional on its face. But the lawsuits in the past that have tried it, that have tried to overturn it, remember the Republicans dominated the Supreme Court until Janet Protasiewicz got elected. And one lawsuit went to federal court. And the federal judge, for some reason, didn't want to get involved, didn't want to overturn it. There is a Missouri case, almost squarely on point, in which the Missouri Supreme Court struck down the equivalent of Act 10. See, when the lines don't hang up, I'll get back to you as soon as I give the guts of what's at stake. First of all, they argue, Act 10 only permits, quote, bargaining, end quote, for wage increases that equal or are less than inflation. And most of you don't remember, but there's a thing called the QEO, the Qualified Economic Offer for public employees in the past, teachers especially. And you could bargain, quote unquote, for up to a 2% raise. That was it. What kind of bargaining is that? Let me tell you what's going on. Cops and firefighters, police officers and firefighters are exempted. They can bargain. They endorsed Scott Walker, and they are largely male. Teachers and nurses endorsed Democratic opponents to Walker, and they are largely female. Some people have estimated that teachers are maybe 70 or 80% female. The Republicans think they can get away with it. That's a denial of equal protection. You cannot say, and that's contrary to the Wisconsin Constitution, you cannot say, I will let unions that endorse me do some stuff, but the others can't do that stuff. And by the way, the unions that endorse me are largely male and the other ones are largely female. And too bad, so sad. You can't say that. It's a denial of equal protection. Act 10 also does not permit automatic deduction of union dues. So it's sort of like right to work, but in the public context. Number three, it requires an annual recertification to vote for the union. How many times is the union supposed to win with workers? This is very unusual, and it's obviously done to attack unions. Number four, public employees now have to pay more for their health care and any retirement benefits. So this lawsuit, and it's somewhat based on the Missouri one, where they won, says it's a denial of equal protection for police officers and firefighters, and simply because they endorsed Walker. There's no rational reason for this disparity. Strike it down. Go to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Thanks for bringing this up, Matt. What you said yesterday and today really frosted me. Mostly it affected female workers.
Right.
I don't know. The GOP, they have something against females. I don't know what it is, but today, boss said he saved billions of dollars. No, you did not. Look at the prison system. Half of it's on lockdown. You lost all these qualified workers, qualified teachers. You didn't save billions of dollars. You lost just because you don't like unions, and union members may vote Democratic. But the topic that really got me yesterday was female workers. And I'll tell you another thing here. The UW nurses are trying to get this back. Now, there's not better people on the face of the earth than nurses. And I'm not going to get too much further with this because, like I said, I'm a union member myself, but a private union. But thanks for bringing this up, Matt. I totally appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, we're going to go on. Russ of Middleton, my friend, you're next. What's your mind, Russ?
Hi, Matt. This is a big topic. And thanks for bringing it up. So the question, I have a couple of points. So what I've read about it is the reason why previous lawsuits against Act 10 failed was because the federal courts and maybe even the Wisconsin Supreme Court at the time said that the legislature can exempt safety workers, so police and fire were allowed because their safety. So that was just the argument that they made, and I'm not sure if this new lawsuit will acknowledge that and sort of do an end around. The other thing, though, was that I wonder how this is going to go, because Trotin Saywood said that in this case, for whatever reason, it has something to do with she apparently has said that Act 10 was unconstitutional. So apparently she has to recuse herself. Now, I'm not sure why she does for that and not for the gerrymandered maps, but that would leave a 3-3 court, and I don't know where that would go, where the lawsuit would go.
Yeah, Russ, those are great questions. Let me hit them. A couple more people in the lines. I'll get as many as you can on this segment and then the rest of the next one. Here's the deal. Janet Protasiewicz during the campaign did say I think they're rigged, but she didn't say she would rule that way. She just said, it's certainly my appearance. She'll read the briefs. I would strongly urge Janet. I know her well. Her husband was a law school classmate of mine. She's a very honest person. And just like with the maps, she said they were rigged, but she's hearing that case, and rightfully so. People that she ran against and that other Democrats have run against say that Act 10 is fine, and they would have stayed on it. I would strongly urge, in a friendly way, Janet Protasiewicz to consider staying on the case, and just having somebody from the court say, I have not made up my mind. I will read the briefs. I will think about it. What I say on my first impression while I'm campaigning is not relevant. And then who's going to overturn her? The legislature can't overturn her. The U.S. Supreme Court can't overturn her because this is a state issue. She should definitely stay on the case. But if she did not, and it was 3-3, if this lawsuit goes up to the Court of Appeals, and hopefully it'll go up to the Court of Appeals in Dane County, and they rule 3-0 or 2-1, that Act 10 is unconstitutional, and Janet Protasiewicz doesn't sit on it, it'll be 3-3. A 3-3 decision leaves in place the Court of Appeals decision, so it would have the same effect. And so that's where you have it. With this business, for instance, of, they carved out safety workers, that's baloney. They carved out people that endorsed Walker and who are largely male. But the other thing is, yes, the Wisconsin Supreme Court said that, but they're a Republican Supreme Court. The Supreme Court can reverse itself. That's what it's going to do with the gerrymandered maps. And in Missouri, they overturned it. And the federal court's ruling is not dispositive, has no binding effect on the state Supreme Court. So I'm very, very hopeful. Very, very hopeful. Oh, coming up, a lot of news and weather. And the Newsom-DeSantis debate, who won? The rest of you on the line, stay on the line. I'll get to you right away after we return. Beep, 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 yeah!
93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. George Santos is now a former Republican congressman. The House voted 311 to 114 today to expel him. Some New Yorkers thought it was the right thing to do.
His expulsion is a good thing, a positive thing, because I think any congressional representation should be held to a certain standard, and he clearly didn't meet it.
Palestinian officials claim Israeli strikes have killed at least 178 people throughout Gaza since the ceasefire ended. The BBC's Paul Adams is in Jerusalem.
Amid disagreements over the release of hostages, Israel and Hamas blamed each other for breaking the terms of the truce. Late in the evening, reports from Khan Yunis in the southern Gaza Strip spoke of some of the heaviest bombardment yet.
She made history. Sandra Day O'Connor has died. Loyola Law's Lori Levinson.
Justice O'Connor was not only the first woman on the Supreme Court, but she was a key swing vote when she was there.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehow. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The secretary of the host committee for the 2024 Republican National Convention in Milwaukee is stepping down. Milwaukee Public Schools cut ties with Gerard Randall's Milwaukee Education Partnership 2 weeks ago. School board members say it isn't clear exactly what the nonprofit did with the school district's money. It also appears Randall lied about prominent people in Wisconsin serving on his leadership team. The city of Wausau is filing a lawsuit against 15 manufacturers of PFAS Forever chemicals. The lawsuit also names 61 major insurance companies that insured the manufacturers. Wausau has some of the worst PFAS contamination in the entire state, with the chemical found in all of the city's drinking water wells. Wausau officials say they hope to recoup some of the millions of dollars they've spent so far to provide safe drinking water and to try and clean up their water wells. I'm Nate Wiggehow, Civic Media News.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low in the low 20s. For tomorrow, a mixture of sunshine and clouds, a high in the upper 30s. Snow showers developing Saturday night, continuing into Sunday morning. Mostly cloudy and upper 30s for the high Sunday afternoon. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Madison Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Now go right to the lines. Bob of Madison, my friend, you're next. What's your mind today, Bob?
Steve Rattner's charts on Morning Joe really educated me. What's happened recently is the last several years, wages have not kept up with inflation. And it was really, you know, about 4 or 5 points, you know, a year. I mean, it's a real bad thing. And that's why people are perceiving the negative. The good news is the last data point is plus one. And what just happened? We had settlements of these union contracts, United, the auto workers, the screenwriters, and the actors. And all of a sudden, wages have caught up with inflation. 25% for the auto workers, 19% increase cumulative over the three-year period because of the pandemic. That's just breaking even, but at least we're catching up and getting back to where we should be. So the unions are powering the Bidenomics.
Right. They're riding with Biden. Let me pick up on that. That was a very, very good point. And then I'll get to the next on the line. But just think of this. State teacher pay, it's all great with the UAW and the actors and all that, but state teacher pay in Wisconsin has declined over the last 10 years, declined relative to inflation. Not only didn't get a raise, it declined. Act 10 limited the amount you can get in bargaining to the whatever the consumer price index is, basically inflation. Usually it's 2-3%. But the school district doesn't have to pay it. All they have to do is bargain about it. But worst case scenario, that's all they got to pay, period. Not all of them do that. Not all school districts do it. The buying power of teachers, people on teachers' salaries, has fallen over the last 15 years. It's lowest in rural and small districts, and there's a lot of turnover. There's a lot of turnover. We're going back to the lines. Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling, Mark. What's on your mind today?
Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I was there when Act 10 came through. As a matter of fact, I was a union steward, and that when Kathy stepped, you know, was appointed by Scott Walker, she, you know, the DNR head, she called all the stewards to a meeting and said, oh, Scott Walker's looking forward to working with the unions. And then a week later, Scott Walker dropped the Act 10 bomb. I guess my question is that from what I'm hearing is it sounds like they still do the automatic deduction for the for firefighters and police that they did not allow for regular state employees or public employees anymore, and they don't require them to do the annual recertification, which is, you know, it's just a killer. I mean, you just cannot, you know, do that every year. I mean, that it was just clearly just stated that he wanted to just destroy the unions, pure and simple, and that and unless they apply the same rules to everybody, I mean, it's just clearly unconstitutional.
Yeah, no, you're right. And the Missouri lawsuit said that, and one of the callers, I think it was Ross Middleton, called in to say that prior courts that have looked at this have said there's a distinction between people who address security, things like firefighters and police officers and everybody else. That's a bogus argument, and it's a fake argument that the Republican Supreme Court, when they had the majority, bought so they didn't have to say that it was because the police and the firefighters endorsed Scott Walker and because they're largely male, whereas nurses and teachers are largely female. I mean, that's really what's coming down to. But secondly, the Republican Party has, for some reason, since Tommy Thompson was an exception, but since Tommy Thompson, have literally hated the teachers union and really disliked teachers. Tommy Thompson was not that way. Tommy Thompson would meet with public employees. He did, however, put through the QEO, the Qualified Economic Offer, which is a sneaky way of saying all you're going to get is inflation. Here they're saying it again, except that the school district doesn't even have to pay you inflation. And they added on recertifying the union every year. And they added on, they're not going to deduct union dues, which is equivalent of right to work. But Janet Protasiewicz on the court, I think she will understand after she reads the brief. She has not made up her mind. She's not made up her mind. But listen, the Republican candidates for judges all go around saying that Act 10 is constitutional. They can't be heard to say that if a Democrat runs and says it certainly doesn't appear to be constitutional, but I'm going to defer my decision until I read the briefs, which is exactly what she should do, they'll have a fair day in court. They can write the briefs. But they are experts at saying, for instance, that Janet Protasiewicz said that she was pro-choice and she felt the 1849 statute, you know, that's 170 years ago, for Pete's sake, based on 170 years in the past technology. She had real questions about it. They all go around saying it's fine. The Republican mantra is always they can say and do whatever they want. But if a Democrat says the opposite, then they're barred from deciding the issue. And we're not going to put up with that. The fact of the matter is that Janet Protasiewicz and that Supreme Court with the majority decide, and she personally has to decide, only she, whether she should recuse herself. And I don't believe she should, for very good legal reasons. Republican judges forever have been deciding things that they already spoke on. They already spoke on during the campaign. One of them, Gableman, was given $1 million by the manufacturers, and then he cast the vote to say it was constitutional to say that manufacturers don't pay income taxes, and everybody else does, including you and including me. And he got $1 million from them. The Republicans do not recognize conflicts of interest. They attack Democrats for what they claim is conflict of interest when it is not. It is not. And so, just as with the gerrymandered maps, if they decide that contiguous in the Constitution means actually contiguous, I don't know if you knew this, but when the Republican Supreme Court upheld the maps, there's a requirement in the state constitution that districts be contiguous. That means they touch. Many, many districts, state senate, and many, many state assembly districts are not. I think one guy represents Fitchburg, then he has to go a couple of miles to represent another group and all this. That's all over the state. The Republicans said, quote, within the meaning of the Constitution, that's contiguous. They just made it up. This Supreme Court, in my judgment, should overrule that. A Supreme Court can overrule a case that another Supreme Court has entered, even if it's 2 years ago or 2 minutes ago. That is their prerogative. Citizens United overruled 100 years of decisions in legal history. Shelby County, which got rid of most of the Voting Rights Act, overruled prior decisions. In those two cases, it was Clarence Thomas who cast a deciding vote. Just as this Supreme Court, I hope, is about to overrule the prior case, which is only a few years ago, where the Republican Supreme Court said that contiguous doesn't mean contiguous, they absolutely can overrule a prior Supreme Court, Wisconsin Supreme Court case that said that Act 10 is okay because firefighters and police officers deal with security. Teachers deal with securities too. Prison guards deal with them too. A lot of people deal with that. This is a baloney argument, a false, stupid baloney argument. I litigated a case once, I represented Johnson Controls insurance companies. This is public, I can say it. We're not paying for cleanup costs based on a company they'd acquired. And I took it to the Supreme Court in Wisconsin. And people on the other sides and a couple of the justices said, we just decided this in the past. And I said, decide it differently now. And 5-2, I won. So anybody who tells you that a Supreme Court can't overturn something is absolutely wrong. Go to the lines. Jack of Merrimack, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Jack?
Well, I wanted to go back to the teachers and their salary losses in the last 10 years. It's actually been even worse than what you would think, because while you might look at the dollar amounts on the pay scale on the teacher's salaries and make the conclusion that they lost, 8 to 10% compared with inflation, when Act 10 came through, they also had a provision that required that teachers had to pay a certain minimum percentage of the medical insurance costs, and many school districts had picked that up 100% as a result of negotiations over the years, which changed the salary schedules. But the bottom line is, besides the losses due to inflation and salaries not keeping up with it, teachers have also had to pay more for their insurance, which is an additional loss of possibly as much as another 3 or 4%. So it's worse than the situation, you know, than the numbers imply. That's my my bottom line.
Yeah.
And I know, because I was in teaching for 40 years, and I watched this happen. And when Scott Walker took over and Act 10 enacted, I retired.
Yeah, you know, Jack, that's a very, very powerful message from you in that call, because I'll tell you what, when I said before that they also had to pay more for medical and some retirement, and also for long-term medical after retirement when they, you know, you get Medicare when you're 65. A lot of teachers retire at 55 or 57 or 59. But there's also long-term care, which is not paid for by Medicare, unless you're indigent and you don't want to have to go there. They had to suddenly, I know in Germantown, they suddenly were sent a bill. The teachers had to pay $30,000 or something. I'm not kidding. And otherwise they're going to lose their long-term care. What Scott Walker did is he attacked the most vulnerable people in the workforce. A lot of people go into teaching, and I'm so glad they do. It's so essential to our state, but they give up prospects of being making a lot of money in business. But as teachers, they perform the greatest possible service, which is to educate the next generation of Wisconsinites and Americans. And at the very least, they should be paid fairly. At the very least, they should have health care, and then they can transition to Medicare when they turn 65. At the very least, they should have these retirement benefits. He tampered with that. He tampered with that. And then after 2011, some of the industrial unions, the operating engineers in particular, went to him and said, look, we'll endorse you in 2014 against Mary Burke, but you have to give us your word that you will not sign right to work. He said, you have my word. Now, Mary Burke was not a very strong candidate. Scott Walker won. Right afterwards, he signed a right to work law. And when they went to him and said, you gave us your word, he said, well, I'm running for president and I've got to look conservative in the southern states. That is what happened. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel in September of whatever year that was had an editorial that said Scott Walker's word is no good. The Republicans have interfered with education in this state from university down to grade school for a long time. We now have a chance with Janet Protasiewicz in the Supreme Court to overturn Act 10. Just like they did in Missouri. And it's essential that that happen. She is a great justice, and I'm very, very confident that that will be done. Well, coming up, we'll get to the Newsom-DeSantis debate and also the president of the UW system questioning liberal arts. What's that all about?
Hands out for the tie that binds, because you're mine. I walk the line. Because you're mine, I walk the line. Because you're...
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Snow brings thoughts of ways to stay busy in Wisconsin during the winter. And if you anticipate hitting the slopes, are you surprised to learn there are more than 36 ski resorts across the state? It ranges from Wilmot Mountain, which opened in 1938 in Kenosha County, to Mount La Crosse Ski Area with one of the longest runs in Wisconsin. Granite Peak offers 58 runs outside Wausau, and Wild Mountain Ski Area and its 7 lifts near Hayward. Now, do you know which of those resort sits on the highest slope? The answer coming up. Recreational skiing started in the Midwest. The Lost Ski Areas Project reports the first documentation of actual downhill skiers happened in Beloit in 1841. So which resort sits on the highest slope today? It's Granite Peak near Wausau and boasts 400 acres at a 700-foot vertical drop. The fun and history of skiing is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, I watched the Gavin Newsom-Ron DeSantis debate on Fox on Hannity last night, and let me give you my comments. First of all, I was tremendously impressed with Gavin Newsom. I had known of him. You know, you're governor of California. That's not anything to sneeze at. It's tough. California, by the way, is 10%, maybe more now, of U.S. population, of the whole country. And it's in the top 6 or 7 economies in the world if you split it away from the United States. It would be in the G7 on its own. He was superb. The guy has poise. He's very quick-witted. When they try to back him in the corner, he nailed them. He nailed Hannity. And the interaction between Gavin Newsom and Ron DeSantis was frankly, they sort of went after each other, but you could tell it was done in a jocular fashion. It wasn't mean-spirited. And even DeSantis, who comes across frequently as mean-spirited, is sort of like professional wrestling. Will it help DeSantis in the Republican primary? He was not very good. Just being on an hour and a half of primetime TV obviously helps anybody. So we'll have to see in the polls. But there's something I want to say about it that really frosted me. Hannity and Fox put up false information to benefit DeSantis and broke their word on the rules. The parties agreed, Gavin Newsom agreed, and that was his condition for going. And frankly, in retrospect, he should have said, all right, I'll do it on CNN or MSNBC. I'm not doing it on a crooked station. But they said there'll be no props, you know, no charts and that kind of thing. And there'll be no videos or visuals or anything. Right? Among other things. That was immediately broken. Hannity would put up these visuals with numbers that were crooked, saying that California, in terms of major crimes, is way ahead of California, you know, that in terms of anything bad, homeless, the same thing. And the way that Newsom handled that was pretty good. Newsom said, Florida is 60% higher in murders than we are. What Hannity had done was bake in some other smaller things and made it sound like a murder rate. It was crooked. But then suddenly DeSantis pulls out a brown sheet. I'm not kidding. This is disgusting. Said, this is a map of San Francisco, and here in various dark, lighter dark, and darker dark brown patches are the instance of public feces around San Francisco by homeless people. It was absolutely fraudulent, but you look at this chart, and it's kind of an unpleasant thing to look at. And they agreed they wouldn't pull this stuff. And Gavin Newsom said afterwards, they went back on their word. my message, the one thing I would say to Gavin Newsom is, if you go anywhere near Fox or wherever Tucker Carlson is now, you know they're going to go back on their word. They're all for Trump, whether they say they are or not. They're anti-Ukraine, pro-Putin. They cannot be trusted. They cannot be trusted. But the good news is, I'll tell you what, Gavin Newsom has a future in national politics. Right now, you could say that that was the precursor for the 2028 race, but you never know in 2024. And I was very glad to see Gavin Newsom get that exposure. He was terrific. Going to the lines, Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. Gene, what's in your mind today?
Hi, Matt. Great show as usual. And yeah, I watched that poop show you recommended. I'm sitting there and I thought, this is disgusting. And I thought, you know, it just goes on to show how ridiculous these people are, and they're full of poop. And then to bring up the poop, Matt, I'm using the nice, polite words instead of the S, you know, S-H, poop, poop. You know, so it was a you-know-what show. It was ridiculous. You could see that they had it planned out. And then that idiot, DeSantis, if anybody votes for him, they need to have their head examined, because this guy brought up one situation about somebody who moved to Florida. This person didn't name it, but then he said that it was an in-law. But I think he was married to somebody that's in with Trump's right now, who's really bizarre. So, you know, I'm wondering who that person was. It's so gross, Matt. I cannot stand to watch these guys anymore. And then to say another thing real quick, we got to get rid of Van Orden in my area. We need all the help we can get to help get those other people elected, because he voted to save DeSantis, or not DeSantis, but, you know, Santos, and he's, I mean, he's a scary guy. It's really sad. So thank you for all the people that are calling, and you and all your topics to educate the public. Thank you very much, and you have a good weekend. Thank you, Matt. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you, Gene. Excellent comments. And then I quick in this segment want to get in this. It just came out, Jay Rothman, who's the president of the University of Wisconsin system, he's the main guy, the big kahuna, you know, good reputation guy. On September 1st, he sent an email to all the chancellors, and he said, quote, in the email, this is a document, quote, consider shifting away from liberal arts to programs that are more career specific, particularly if the institution serves a large number of lower income students. Quote, consider shifting away from liberal arts to programs that are more career specific, particularly if the institution serves a large number of lower income students. He's trying to tap dance around that. My message is knock it off. Republican Party has attacked higher education for a long, long time. And they always, Scott Walker said, UW should be a training school for Wisconsin business. We need liberal arts. They're the basis of an education. People should read philosophy. They should read literature. They should read history. It doesn't matter if they're low income or not, or rural or not. Knock it the hell off and rescind that statement. We need liberal arts. We are the greatest university system in the world, in my view, and we cannot permit the Republican Party to starve it of money and then react to that in this fashion. Okay, coming up, plenty of news, plenty of weather, and Hamas stops releasing hostages, and the combat has resumed. You can take the hard way. Gonna take the hard way. Gonna take the hard way.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ+ veteran, your memories are important too.
Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.